ITS Coffee Break for Friday, May 3rd.
On this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we'll let you in on some IT news, including when the class of 2017 will receive their new network credentials. In tech news, we're going to talk about Raspberry Pi and Google Glass. And in help news, we'll let you know of some of the changes coming this summer to WordPress, survey software, and Moodle.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name is Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And we have new digs. Well, actually, they're not that new, but they're new to you.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not sure how many people realize this, but ITS does have new digs. There are new offices in the lower level of Skillman Library. So sort of against the back wall.
Right, where the old room 17 was, which was a storage room that's been converted to office space.
That's right.
So now we have, let's see, the office of the CIO, John O'Keefe, is downstairs. Mm-hmm. There's the project management office is also downstairs. And let's see, AIS moved in from, they were, gosh, which street were they on?
Parsons Street.
Parsons Street, that's right. They moved from Parsons Street over to the library, so they're all over in this building, which has been really cool. And all of WebDev is downstairs.
Yeah.
So, in addition to user services, which was already downstairs.
So if you're looking for IT people, go to Skillman downstairs, and they're tucked along the edges of the building.
Yep. And then iTech would still be upstairs next to the Skillman, what is this area? This Mac Studio.
Yeah, the studio.
Area, the studio, near 105.
So. Yeah. So come visit.
Yeah.
It's actually really nice downstairs. The rest of the furniture hasn't come in, but the plan is to make some casual soft seating and some tables and things sort of along the corridor outside our offices. So it'll be a nice space, particularly for students after hours to, you know, study. And
yeah. And I'm enjoying my new office.
It's quiet.
So it's nice.
Yeah. So the other probably bigger ITS news, probably what we should have started with, is that the accounts for, I had the number earlier, 543 of the incoming class of 2017, the accounts are created. And so basically what's going to happen is an email is going to go out to the class of 2017 to their email address, their personal address that they've been using with the admissions office, and it will let them know their network ID, and they'll basically go to the password reset utility and reset their password, which they don't know, and they'll be off to the races. So welcome, class of 2017, and we're excited to have you, and hopefully you'll have your account soon. And if you have problems, contact the help desk.
Yes. And I guess the last bit of news is that Tim Yale and myself will be going to DrupalCon in Portland, Oregon, in basically later this month. I think it's the third week of May. And I'm looking forward to this. There's going to be a lot of birds of the feather for higher education at DrupalCon. So they're trying to organize a couple different one of these. I have to get caught up on exactly what they were doing. They were actually planning on doing an unconference the day before, but that didn't actually come together. So they're going to do these birds of a feather instead. But I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been to a DrupalCon in a
couple
really
years,
long time.
So I'm excited about this, even though I'm not going, because as some people already are aware, I think we've mentioned, the new campus portal that I have been knee-deep in all week is built on Drupal. And so I'm really excited. Tim Yale's been doing a lot of the extra development work for us and cleaning up some things. And so I'm excited to see what you guys bring back to sort of, you know, push us further in.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, we've been converting everything from Drupal 6 to Drupal 7, so the help site's using Drupal 7, and the library site uses Drupal 7, and special collections will be using Drupal 7. And I'm really interested in seeing how you can use Drupal 7 as a kind of high-powered content management system to solve some of those problems we've had with, specifically with Drupal, and it can be a little bit awkward for editing content. It's very powerful, but it can also be kind of like a bit nerdy.
It is a bit nerdy.
In tech news this week, we've got some hardware we want to talk about.
Yeah, just some fun, kind of funky things. The first is something that I heard about a couple months ago. I think some faculty and students in engineering have been playing around with this. And so, of course, I went online to figure out what the heck is a Raspberry Pi. So basically, a Raspberry Pi is a credit card-sized computer that plugs into basically a monitor, so it can just be a TV,
right.
And you add a keyboard, and you got a PC.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's running Debian Linux by default, but it'll also support Fedora and Arch Linux. And basically, I think this is, I mean, the way I've been envisioning it is like a spiritual successor to the Commodore 64 and the Apple II Plus and the Timex Sinclair and like all these other really cheap computing options that, I mean, I grew up with. I mean, I learned how to program on all these things.
Right.
I mean, it helped that my mom was a computer programmer, so she just kept bringing all these new things, right? But there wasn't really an option. I mean, I guess what their inspiration was, there wasn't the equivalent in the modern era for these kinds of things, right? Like that you could just have this cheap computer. I mean, these things go with a baseline version. It's like $100, and that's with a few accessories thrown in. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is not like your laptop or tablet.
No,
or
not
really
at all.
Sexy like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal of this project is to help kids learn how to program and to have that sort of mindset, like you say, kind of the spiritual,
right.
The spirit of what we sort of learned on.
Right, and it's like a garage computing, and just being what here's a really cheap computer. What can you do with it?
Right.
You know, which is a really, really cool idea. I mean, it's got the peripherals. I mean, you can plug in things. It's got a USB port. There's two versions. There's an A and a B. And I guess the B has more connectivity. So it's got, I think, an Ethernet port and a USB ports and that kind of stuff. But it's pretty freaking cool. I'd like to play around with one of these. I think my 6-year-old is getting to the point, like I was saying before, he likes to destroy things and just take things apart to see how they work. I can see he's going to very soon get to the point where he's going to want to start building stuff. So
maybe that's cool. A good option for him.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I can see him being very interested. I think I could see him just seeing, like, you know, because it looks like just a little circuit board.
Yeah.
And I think that just showing him that and then plugging it into the TV and plugging it into a keyboard and then just showing him how this little thing can be a computer, I could just see his brain exploding.
That's exciting. So my head kind of explodes when I've seen a couple times this week demonstrations of Google Glass.
Yeah.
So, you know, all growing up, I've always wanted to just, like, blink my eyes and take a picture.
Right.
And Google's starting to make that happen.
Yeah. So Google Glass is a wearable computer. The idea is it looks kind of like glasses, but it looks like the geeky glasses. I mean, it's
yeah.
kind of got the bigger rims, and, like, there's this little square chunk off to the side that I assume is the processor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the idea is that you wear it, and it does the augmented reality thing, and you can have these overlays and do searches and take pictures and do just stuff with these glasses.
Yeah, I was watching the news the other morning and they were doing some demonstrations of it and they had it connected to a tablet or something so that you could actually see what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
It's really pretty cool.
So it actually does a graphical overlay on the glasses itself, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you basically like tip your head up and it turns kind of on and then you tell it what you want to do. And of course, it's going to lead to like all of these people talking to themselves. So I feel like it's going to be a throwback to when everyone wore Bluetooth.
Right.
Right? There was that time when people would, you know, just walk around talking to themselves.
Yes.
And I think this is headed back to that.
Yes, definitely. So I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. I mean,
yeah. So it's only released for developers, unfortunately. To which I said, Ken, let's develop something. But he wasn't buying that. So if any of you have ideas on how we could get our hands on one,
I would love to just see it and see what you could do with it and see how it feels. I mean, it's one of those things. Google released it and then people started saying, well, this is what would make it better. So it doesn't. Google says it would last for a full day, but it really lasts for about 5 hours, you know, and. I guess there's some other, you know, interface challenges that it's currently experiencing. But, I mean, good God, this is like the alpha release. You know,
yeah.
We'll see where it goes. I think it's a very interesting space, and it's one of those very science fiction-y type things that you would expect to be able to do in 2013.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about wearable computers on a previous episode as far as, like, you know, watches that connect and things like that. So I think this is just a natural sort of addition to that whole wearable computer space. So health news, less about how to do stuff, I guess, and more about information this time. Lots of changes coming this summer. I think people have come to expect that from us. I don't know if that's good or bad, but so changes. We're changing the survey software that we're going to use on campus from Opinio to Qualtrics. So that's going to be sort of a phased transition. No one should be really anxious about it, but we are moving. So we'll be sort of focused on that part of the summer. Moodle will obviously have an upgrade this summer. Mm-hmm. And so we'll release more information about changes. It shouldn't be too drastic.
I think we'll have a better feel for that after Moodle HackDoc at Colgate in June.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're looking at 2.4. 2.5 will also be out by that point. But, we'll get a feel if there's any major new changes in 2.4. I don't get the sense that there were.
Yeah, really. I mean, it won't feel anything like last summer did. So.
No. So last summer was a huge jump from 1.9.
Right.
So.
Right. And then I guess the last one that we're really excited about right now are changes that are coming to WordPress. So WordPress 3.6 is now in beta, and we have it installed, and we've been playing with it. And I just keep hearing like cheers coming from people's offices.
Jason Alley was downright giddy the first time he tried 3.6. in beta. And the reason why he was giddy, I think, primarily has to do with the way it handles audio and video.
Yes.
I think you would have always expected it to do this.
Yes, we did.
It didn't. And we've been trying for the last couple of years to do this. But this is being able to insert audio and video into a post and then just have WordPress automatically display a player. And that's what it does. So if you've got, I think Jason was just working on this with a faculty member last week. He needed to be able to have 5 or 6 audio samples on the same page, each with their own player. And we didn't have an easy way of doing that. So then we started looking at, I think Charles Fulton actually went out and looked at the 3.6 beta and said, hey, check this out. It's in there, right? So it's currently on beta 2. We've been playing around with that, and I'm looking forward to it. Our plan is that 3.6 is supposed to drop later this month. So probably in June, I think, you would probably see the new version of WordPress get pushed out. We want to obviously get past the end of the semester commencement.
Right,
what have
absolutely.
You. So
yeah.
We really don't like to break things during finals
when people are doing
their grades. So.
Yeah, and so also I guess there's 2013 is the new theme.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be a responsive theme, which
will be
interesting.
Yeah, very responsive, yeah. So I haven't, Charles showed me some stuff with this, and it looks like it, I mean, technically 2012 was also responsive, but I think 2013, it looks better than 2012. So, and it shows off a whole bunch of new capabilities, which I actually need to sit down and look through, but I think they're post-format, so you can very quickly present information in different ways. So it's pretty nifty.
And so then in addition to those core features that are being added, we have a couple of new plugins that we're going to introduce to both sites and depths this summer. So code, I guess, displays code beautifully in line.
This is for, you have some PHP code that you want to demonstrate to the world. You just use a pre-tag or a code tag, and it will stop WordPress from stripping out all the stuff it thinks it's icky and basically keep your code the way you want it to.
And then also MathJax, which was a request from computer science and math. We've had a couple of requests for this, but MathJax will let you add equations to your blog posts.
Right, so it's using LaTeX for this. And I got to say that this is going to be good for equations, not so much publishing a book.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's not, you can do some pretty significant things with LaTeX. This is not that. It's not just not that extensive. I mean, this is really that you're trying to demonstrate equations. This is going to be good for you.
So we're always looking for suggestions as far as things that you're trying to do in WordPress that you're not able to do. So feel free to filter those through either the help desk or through Ken and I, or your favorite IT staff member.
Right. We are always looking for feedback on this and the show. You can send it to us at itsblog@lafayette.edu. You can follow us on Facebook, and you can also follow us on Twitter. Links to all of that is in the show notes.